Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. As always, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I know that I know I'm blessed to be with you this morning. As it is a new day, it is God's day, and I am grateful that he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Hallelujah. Whew. Just a happy lady today. The sun is shining. It's a little cooler than normal, but it's all right because it's a day that the Lord has made. And I'm grateful that God said, good morning, daughter. And I say, good morning, God. I've been awake since early this morning listening to the word of God. You know, sometimes we have to be on the other side and listen. And then God will reveal when it's his time what he wants you to do. And I just knew it was going to be an Old Testament Friday. And I was prepared and I was ready. And I had listened to the word. And then God flipped the script and said, no, it's going to be a New Testament, Psalm and Proverb kind of day. So I am like, okay, God, I'm fine. I'm grateful. And your word is always true. Your word is always excellent. And I'm happy to read your word whichever way you want me to do it. Hallelujah. So as we go into prayer this morning, Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day that you have made. I am rejoicing in your sunshine. I'm rejoicing in your light, God, for Jesus is the light, and I'm going to let him shine. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And I know with you, I can do all things. For you are my strength. You are my God. You are my Father. You are my friend. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name I lift up this word today. May it touch someone's heart. May it touch someone's mind. May it touch someone's spirit. May a blessing be added to the hearers and the readers of this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, today we're going to start off in chapter 9. Normally we do our psalm and our proverb, but today we're going to do our New Testament word first. And I can say this New Testament word is a great word. It says, one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I can see. This is the story of the blind man who was healed by Christ, who gave him strength in his weakness, but who was vilified because he just happened to have been healed on the Sabbath. And all these religious zealots came a-running because they had to get Jesus. Again, folks trying to get who's doing things the right way, because they know in their hearts they're not doing things the way God wants them to do it. They're not having love. They're not having peace. They're not having joy. They're not having anything but a whole bunch of religion with no substance. And we cannot be so religious that we can't see past the surface of what is right and what is wrong. So let's get into this word this morning. Please join me in John chapter 9. And it says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God should be revealed in him. It must work the works. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. Can you hear it? Who is the light? Jesus is the light. And we have got to let his light shine in us. Jesus is the light. He's the light of everything. I just get so filled up when I think about Jesus, the warmth of his love and his great goodness and his great kindness. But he said, I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Imagine, had he said, no, don't put that on my eye. Don't put that clay on my eye. You know, I don't know where your saliva be, and I'll, don't be touching me with them nasty hands. You know, I'm all good. I'll just stay blind. Or clay on my eyes. You know I'm blind, and I can't go to the Shiloh and wash. But he had someone take him, I'm sure, guide him there. And he did what he was asked to do. How many times do we miss our blessings because we don't do what God asked us to do? Wow. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him, who formerly was blind, to the Pharisees. Of course, got to take him to the religious folks. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is your son, who you say was blind, born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. You know, parents had to pass that buck. You know, what's wrong with you? Why are you not happy that this blind man can now see, that this blind man can now be a productive human being, and that he does not have to beg anymore? Why are you so concerned as to how he got his sight instead of happy for him that he does have his sight, that he is able to do the things he wants to do to help his parents? But now, instead, they turn the parents against child because parents don't want to leave their church. So here we go. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know." They're talking about Jesus being a sinner. "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." And that's the title of our lesson today. Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. You're like, you are not going to pull me into your mess. Well, he must be a sinner. I don't know. I do not know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is, I was blind, now I see. Said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already. You did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, you do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from yet. He has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not give sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God," oh, come on now. He flips the script and starts preaching to them. Let's go back. And he says it. Really, this blind man is called. And he said, "Now we know that God does not give sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God," oh, come on now, "and his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was blind. Man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sin, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. Yeah, he was teaching you, and you got mad because he was hitting you right where it hurts. What did he tell him? You know, we got to understand that everybody, word from God, may not be someone that went to college in theology, that have their degree in this or that, but are people called by God to give a word from God. God can use anyone. We all know he used the donkey. Come on now. God can use anyone, and God used this man who once was blind, but now he sees. And I got to read this again. It hit my heart. The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing." He's like, "I was blind. Don't you see that? I was blind, and now I can see. And you are complaining about it? You are wanting to call it a bad thing? It's a marvelous thing." I'm getting excited. "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from yet. He has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will," come on now, "he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sin, and are you teaching us?" Attitude. And they cast him out, full of religion, that they have no love for anybody, not even God. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. It's like, I ain't got time. I do not have time to play with you. I don't have time. My time is getting close. I don't have time to fool around with folks that don't want to believe. I don't have time to fool around with folks that want to vilify, tear down, instead of build up and lift up. Jesus was like, I don't have time for this. You see what you say. All I know is what I know. You know what you know. And if we cannot come to agreement, that is your sin that you'll be dealing with. I got to keep moving. This blind man worshiped. This blind man understood. This is the Son of God. And Jesus tells him, most assuredly I say to you, this is John chapter 10, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold, come on, Jesus, preach, by the door, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the sheep herd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for being the great shepherd. Thank you for being the one that shepherded me back into your fold. When I had gone astray, you called me back. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus was saying, I am going to die because I want to die for you. I'm going to lay down my life because I love you. I have to do it. We do it because I am the good shepherd, and you are my sheep. I laid down my life for your sins. I didn't have to, but I did. There's no greater love than the love of Jesus. And all I can say is thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Because therefore, there was a division amongst the Jews because these things, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Whew, what a word. Go back and get some life lessons from this word this morning. I am just so filled up. It was such a great word today. All I can say is thank you, God, for this mighty word this morning. You know, we all suffer blindness when it comes to certain things. We get blind to our mess. We get blind to the stuff that it may irk us. It may bother our spirits. But we got blind to it. It's like, I'll do it tomorrow. But we're not always going to have tomorrow. So some things you need to go ahead and start on today. Because you know not what tomorrow will bring. And I'm speaking to myself. Not to y'all, but to me. Because it's just some things I need to do. And I need to do it today. Because, again, we got to work the work that we're called to do. When God wakes you up in the morning, get up and move and do what you're called to do. And this is what our life lessons and life examples say for this word this morning. And again, thank you, Dr. Charles Stanley. Again, for those that are just joining, moving forward, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible. Biblical principles for each day of the year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And all I can say is it has been a great word. We are near to have finished word for this year. We read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We don't read it necessarily in that order. The way God given Dr. Stanley to write this book, you have an Old Testament word, you have a Psalm, you have a Proverb, and you have a New Testament word. On January 1, we started in Genesis chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1, Psalm chapter 1, and Proverb chapter 1. And we are moving on from there. So if you do not have this Bible, you need to buy it for your biblical arsenal. It has been sold out many times. Let's sell it out again in honor of Dr. Stanley. So if you do not have this Bible, you need to, and again, I'm not paid by InTouch, not paid by any, let's say, to Dr. Stanley, but I will tell you, this is the best Bible you can ever have. And I've read a bunch of Bibles. You know, on this show, we've gone through Hebrew and Greek translations of the Bible. We've done chronological with a secular twist because it gave history along with the biblical word of God. So understand, this is one of the best Bibles that I have ever read in my life, and I am so grateful to God that he showed it to me and gave it to me. And I'm so grateful to Dr. Stanley for listening to the voice of God. And so what Dr. Stanley tells us in Life Lessons in John 9:3, and the scripture is, neither this man nor his parents sinned. The work of God should be revealed in him. It's always dangerous to assume that some sin is to blame for a physical ailment in this case. Jesus said that God designed the man's blindness to provide a platform for exalting his glory. And that is why this man was going to get his sight back. He was born blind. He didn't know anything but blindness. But God sent his son. His name was Jesus. He was the light of the world. Excuse me. And cured the blind. And the blind could see. And in our own lives, many of us are blind to salvation. But through Jesus Christ, we are saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And a life lesson is trading our weakness for God's strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got a t-shirt that has that on there, that scripture, because we all can do more with Christ who gives us strength. We just have to trust him. Were they purposefully adding insult to injury as the people gathered around the blind man? They proclaimed that it was due to sin that the man could not see. This is often the plight of someone going through suffering. As much a pain as the sufferer is in, people are eager to point out that he or she must have done something to deserve it. No, they may not have done anything to deserve it, but to love God. And God may be just calling them home. But that doesn't mean they did anything wrong. It says, have you ever experienced this, or are you facing it now? When trials in your life are overwhelming and people offer to comfort only condemnation, it can almost be too much for the heart to handle. Don't condemn me. Love me. Job went through the same thing. Condemned by his friends. Told he must have been a sinner for all this calamity to come on him by those who came to quote-unquote give him comfort. Haven't we all gone through that where somebody wants to beat you down instead of lift you up? Yet even as struggles and criticism compound in your life, the Lord offers hope. In John 9:3, Jesus told the crowd, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Whatever your trial, you can easily expect that God is going to display his glory through you. Hallelujah. We've all seen it. We don't know why God does what he does for a reason. It's for a purpose. And we got to understand whatever that purpose is, it's for the glory of God. That is why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:10, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in need, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul knew that whatever situation, God prevail for you as well. God will prevail. God will prevail. And it goes on to say, life is hard, often unjustly so, and people are often critical. But God loves you, and he is your hope. Count on him to be your strength, and his glory will be shown through you. Hallelujah. God's glory will be shown through you. Give God praise this morning. In John 9:24, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. Religious speech often cloaks the darkest of hearts. Come on now. These leaders wanted the man to speak a vicious lie about God's son, something that, far from honoring God, would anger and offend him. Get so cloaked in religion that you forget all about God. How many times have you heard people in the guise of religion say some hurtful, hateful things and try to guise it up like God said it? Nothing that they say is of God. it's their own religion so full of themselves that they forget to give God glory. God is absolute, and he's in charge of everything. I would not be awake this morning had it not been for God. I thank him for waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind, because somebody did not wake up today. Somebody is not in their right mind today. You work with and you see people that were so cognizant of everything around them start to deteriorate when you realize that dementia is setting in, Alzheimer's. It's so tragic that they don't even know who you are. They don't know their family members. I had a lady that I worked for, and she had developed dementia to the point where her family had to put her in a facility. And I just happened to have been in the facility one day, and I ran into her. And I asked her, did she know me? And what she said was the sweetest thing I've ever heard in my life. And it touched my heart. And she said, I don't know your name, but I know your spirit. And it's beautiful, just like you. As she patted my face, she said, I remember your spirit. And that touched my heart because I try to take God with me everywhere I go. Someone to not remember your name, but to remember your spirit. It's a beautiful thing, especially if you allow the light of God to be that spirit. So I say today, as I do get a little emotional, y'all know I am definitely, you call me Joshua because I'll weep in a minute, but I weep because I feel the joy of God. And to know that this little lady who couldn't remember my name remembered my spirit. And she called me beautiful. That my spirit was beautiful. And that I was too. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as it goes forth, Jesus heard that they had cast him out because they cast this man out of church. Took him out of church because he would not say anything negative about the Son of God. No, you can't be a part of this because you must be a sinner. You must, your parents sinned. Your parents was like, our name is West. We're not in this mess. We don't know anything. I get kicked out of church. How many parents have turned against their children because they're so religious, they forgot how to love? You will be all held accountable for putting religion over loving your children. What we do is we pray. We lift up. But we don't throw our kids away for religion. God, there's no way in the Bible God told you to throw your children away. Because in the Word of God, God tells your children to honor you so they will have long life. And the Lord told you to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. If you taught your children to be loving and kind, they're going to be loving and kind. They're going to be the ones that bring you a drink of water when you get old. They're going to be the ones who you can see the light in them. You can see their soul. And that is beautiful because you raised them the right way. But this is what Jesus said. Jesus sought the man out that after he heard that what the religious leaders had done to him, he does the same thing with us. He seeks us out, offering us his help and encouragement to walk with God. And I will just say it. The reason I quit going to church was because of a religious leader who just made assumptions about people that because I didn't go to your church didn't mean that I didn't go to church. Because I didn't grow up in this city does not mean that we did not know God. You know, we can't, as pastors and ministers, assume that when someone comes into our church that they come in not saved. And that we try to vilify and put them down because they know as much as we do. Because we didn't teach it to them, it must be something else. So religious that there was no heart. And I know now, as I look back over my life, that it was the devil kicking us off our square because he knew that we would have been powerful for God and that we had been told by prophets that we would minister, that we would preach. And instead, we did minister, we did preach with our family, but we should have been in our church. We didn't know because we hadn't been taught that part because we had grown up in a church of religion and not of God and not of the word of God and not teaching of salvation and sanctification and the Holy Spirit. But just a whole lot of religion. God sees your heart. And he knows his children. Now I see that he was free, unfettered by unseen obstacles, and emancipated from blindness. The man rejoiced because Jesus had healed him. Yet the Pharisees could not accept it, and they certainly were not celebrating. As they questioned him, the Pharisees became increasingly argumentative. So the man answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple? Perhaps there have been areas of your life greatly affected by your relationship with Christ. Do not be surprised when people have a hard time understanding the ways he has worked because recognizing God's work requires faith. Come on now. However, your reaction should be like that of the blind man. He was thankful for what Jesus had done, and he was willing to tell people that it was Jesus who had healed his blindness. He was even so bold as to suggest that the Pharisees should want to become disciples as well. Hold on. He tells us this. This is what Dr. Stanley said. Crosses release us from this world, and by doing so, bind us to God. The man was bound to God because he had been freed from his blindness. Your crosses will bind you to God as well. Give thanks for how he has healed you, and rely on him for your strength. Tell people what he has done in your life, and he will make you a great witness for him. Are you a witness for Christ this morning? Were you once blind, and now you see the goodness of God, the greatness of Christ Jesus, that he has healed you from the inside out, that your spirit is beautiful, hallelujah, that God has taken you to another level. Thank you, Jesus, this morning. I'm just filled up. This word is so powerful. I once was blind, but now I see. And as John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is not one of many doors to the Father, but the only door. He never claimed to be one route among several to an intimate relationship with God, but insisted he was the only way. I heard, oh, there's so many ways that you can get to God. No, it's not. We got to be blunt and say, no, it's not. The only way you're going to get to God is through our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how you get to God. There's no enlightenment. There's no this and that. It is Jesus. And we got to start being bold enough to say, no, it is Jesus. And that's the only way you're going to get to God. We got to stop playing church and the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and he gave his life for us. John 10:11. If Jesus willingly gave his life to save ours, how can we think he would ever keep back from us anything that would truly benefit us? He is the good shepherd, not the stingy shepherd or the tight-fisted shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and he loves us, that he gave his life for us. Filled up, and I'm on fire because I see so much nonsense out there on YouTube. Enlightened. There are so many wonderful ways to get to God that you don't have, you know, everything is not about, no. One way, same as Jesus. And we got to quit it because time is short. John 10:17, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. God gave Jesus the authority both to offer his life as a sacrifice for our sins and to rise from the dead in power and great glory. Jesus' death and resurrection were equally planned from eternity. And all we have to do is go to Revelation 13:8, and it gives us the information that we need. Hallelujah. I'm just filled up this morning. When I read, you know, I just had all my little plans, but my little plans were not God's plans. Hallelujah. And I thank God for this word and that he changed it all. He said, not today, daughter. I got you. Hallelujah. And he does. This word is powerful. Hallelujah. If you were once blind, but now you see, just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me sight. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and your grace. Your love and your grace. Now, our psalms for this morning. Excuse me, y'all. I'm all filled up. Psalm verses 68, Psalm, starting at verse number 7. Oh, God, out before your people, when you march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance. When it was weary, your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. And we know the word is Jesus. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home divides the spoil. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and are feathered with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings in it, it was white as snow in Dalman. A mountain of God, a mountain of mighty peaks, is the mountain of his own. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits. The Lord of our salvation, Selah. Our God is the God of salvation. The Lord belongs, escape from death. Oh, hallelujah, what a word. And our Lord Jesus escaped from death. I have just read the 68th Psalm, verses 7 through 20. And I have a couple of life lessons from this psalm this morning. Actually, I have a life lesson. And it is, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. 68 Psalm, verse 19. We will never know how the Lord loads us with benefits every day of our lives. We take for granted many of his blessings. Life, food, shelter, friends, family, clothes. But we should always praise him for who he is. Can you say with me, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior. In Proverbs chapter 17, starting at verse 5. And it says, he who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. And I love this word that Dr. Stanley gives us from verse 5. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. God made us all, and to mock anyone for something like poverty is to mock God. Come on now. God says, we always exist. We are to help them, not mock them. You know, you have folks that talk about how much they got. I got this and I got that and I got mine and they should have got theirs. It's not my fault that they don't this, that, and the other. Understand, God, we all got to stand before God. How did you treat the least among us is what God will ask you. Did you mock them? Did you talk about them? Or did you put out a hand and help? We got to quit being so sanctimonious and holy that we forget to be kind and loving. Proverbs 17:7-9. Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. A present whereas he turns, he prospers. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who separates a matter separates friends. And, you know, I deal with children's ministry. And we talked about the tongue last night and how, you know, we have to be careful what we say. Because sometimes what you say can hurt a person, can cut like a knife. And we as people of God have got to watch what we say. This tongue can start a fire. How many times have we seen a tongue start fires in how people treat each other? One person can cause an insurrection. One person's tongue can cause a rebellion. One person's tongue can cause countries to fall. We've got to be very careful with this little membrane behind our teeth called a tongue that can cause all kind of confusion. And as ministers and as people of God, we've got to preach the word of God. Not what we think or what we feel, but what does God's word say? And God will give you what to say. When you turn it over and say, Lord, whatever you want me to say, let me speak it in the name of Jesus. And this is what it says. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her goods, rather than a fool in his father. And we know a bear robbed of a cub is vicious, but a fool in his father can burn up a nation. We've got to be very careful. what we listen to, who we listen to, what we believe, what we speak, and what we say. God is in charge of everything. I once was blind, but now I see. Allow God to clean your eyes up, lay on and wash your eyes so you see the Spirit and not just what's on the outside. We got to keep trusting God. Keep loving God and know that He loves us best. Because He's just our absolute. He is our everything. Loving God is so much a part of who we are. And as we go into the word from Sister Carolyn this morning, just keep this in mind. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. You will eventually see. This man was blind from birth. Jesus. And all he said was, wash your eyes. And when he washed his eyes through faith, he could see everything. Everything we leave in the hands of God will eventually. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. And it is the truth. So I thank God for us securely and the words that He gives her every day. If there's anyone that has a word that they would like to speak, now is the time to push that number one on your phone or call 213-943-3597 is our call-in number. Which you can use any day, Friday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. God willing, we will be here. And I just have a word from God this morning. Increase my faith. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Luke 17:5, NLT. Mighty God, you speak, earth trembles, and you move all of creation. Bows to your intentions. There is not a living thing side of your grasp. You can easily reach anyone who cries out to you for help. You are the originator of all things, including my own faith. Lord, as I live for you in this life, would you fill it with the goodness of your character? As your child, I know I can come to you with anything and you will receive me. And yet, even the apostles who journeyed with Jesus day to day asked for him to increase their faith. How much more do I need an increase? Lord, I believe in you. The pattern of your love is all over my life. Even so, increase my faith, Lord, that I journey with you. I will walk in greater confidence in who you are in me and I in you. What do you need more faith for today? Whatever it is that you need, and watch Him work in your life. And know that you are special to God and that you are loved. We all have been blind in our life, but all we can do is thank God for the blessing of sight. It comes to Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for listening in this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And as our prayers out today, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in Jesus' name over you and yours, that you will have a blessed and wonderful day, that you will have a weekend of remembering those that have gone before us, to thank God for the veterans who gave their life for us, to just remember on this Memorial Day weekend that many have perished. We ask God's grace over everyone and thank God for the ancestors thank God for the ones that came before you to make your life better. Thank God it rose again just for you. Be blessed for those that are traveling. I pray, traveling grace and mercy, that the angels of God cover you in your travel, in your going in and your coming out. May you be safe and secure in his love. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you, and Jesus does too. And there's nothing we can do about it but accept their love and know that we are saved by the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. Thank you so much, family. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. We will be broadcasting on Sunday, and we will be here on Monday. And I do understand if you want to sleep in on Monday, it's all right with me. And I will let you know for sure on Sunday if God says to give you Memorial Day to rest. And then we'll be back together on Tuesday, and we will cover Monday and Tuesday on Tuesday. But I don't know yet until God gives it to me. Because God may say Monday morning is another day. So I will do whatever God tells me. So I should know something by Sunday morning, what God wants me to do. So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed day. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it is a wrap. Hopefully Mother Valerie will be back with us on Monday. She is sleeping in today. So thank you so much. God bless you. God keep you. May his light shine upon you and give you grace. Be grateful and thankful and know that you're blessed. For you are children of God. Have a great day. It's a wrap.